I'm preaching, I thought that when I came to Jesus, all that is gone. That was a lie. You were in a dollar store church. If anything, once you came to Christ, you better be ready. Because that piece of garbage, good for nothing, idiot, punk, low life called devil, will do everything to get you back into the mud. Because he's a loser. He is a loser. He can think straight, be brain. He can do nothing right. He cannot stand on the truth. He's a big time liar, fat liar. So he will try to drag to the mud as many people as he can. So tonight we're going to have a quick rundown on a few things that the Spirit told me to tell you tonight. Let's get something out of the way. When we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, it's the second red stuff on your page. Overcoming the devil's harassment is the title of the meditation. The text comes to 2 Corinthians 10, 4. And he goes on as far as to say, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, Brother Harry, can you put that same scripture up there, but give me this thing now on the New Living Translation so people can see something here. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons. I like that. To knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. A stronghold is a place that the enemy will try to hold in our minds and sometimes in our life. Is a way to attempt to reason with God. Is a way to attempt to make sense of things that you're not able to comprehend. Then I don't accept. That's your business. God is not indebted to us. Actually, God don't need us. We need God. And this is why the scripture says elsewhere, what eyes haven't seen, what ears haven't heard, and has never penetrated on man's understanding, are the good things that God has prepared for those who love him. One may ask, why doesn't he reveal it right now? Because your mind is still a finite mind. Your mind is still limited. This is why he said in Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts. You know, my ways are not your ways. As heaven is high far above than earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So to try to reason the way that God does things is dumb to say the least. And the devil can take this and take a block, take a compartment in one's life. You can't explain God. Get that straight once and for all. If I can explain it and accept, then just prepare to meet the devil. That's plain and simple. If God wanted us to reason him, we would be basically gods. Now, how in the world you can explain that there's billions, trillions of stars hanging up above my head and they are not falling upon us? How did he do that? I don't know. I certainly will ask when I get up there. But till then, I'm going to just glorify God. And I'm going to enjoy it, everything that's out there, because the Bible said that the stars and the firmament, they proclaim the glory of God. So in other words, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to pulling down strongholds. In other words, there is going to be times in life that things is going to be happening to you and you won't be able to understand. So what do I do? Sit like a sitting duck and get beat up by the devil? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Watch this. Give me the Message Bible on this one here, brother. Watch this. It's a little crazy, but I want you to see this. The tools, say tools, of our trade aren't for marketing or manipulation. But get this. But they are for demolishing the entire massively corrupt culture. This world will try to reason God. There is a culture out there trying to sell us the idea that if we can't understand, then we don't accept. When you don't accept, you go to hell. There's no other way around this. God says like that, and this is the way it's going to be. Why? Because culture cannot explain God. Therefore, it will not override what God has already established. So the enemy will use this tool. It's a manipulation. Now just think about this. When I was growing up, which wasn't that long ago, people who used to be on the movies, they used to be called movie stars. Y'all remember that? All of a sudden, now a demon possessed decided to call them a celebrity. Celebrity. What is so celebrity that they do? Strip their clothes, kissing another man's wife and another wife's, you know, man and whatnot. What is so celebrity about that? That's actually prostitution. But the culture of the day called them celebs. And then there's some idiots that will put on internet sometimes when they go to check the email. Listen to what the celebs are saying. I don't need a prostitute to tell me anything because I've got God's word. Now the sad part of this is that we pay to have that garbage come into our house. Go figure. And this is why the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare is not for marketing or manipulation. They are manipulating our way of thinking. Who would tell that 25 years ago that at this day we would be watching on TV a man marrying another man and kissing another man on their lips? How did they get to that point? Manipulation. Marketing. Are we still together here? Back to the King James. On that same scripture, it says, the weapons, can you give the New King James, brother? For the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. What are you saying, preacher? That when stuff like this come up, talking won't do. Reasoning won't do because their mind are already manipulated by the evil one. So how do we pull down these strongholds? Point number one. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch. Stand fast. Say what? In the faith. What else? When the whole world is corrupt, when the whole culture is turning their back on God and is attacking us, backing down is not an option. Backing off is not an option. Going with the flow is not an option. The word says, watch, stand fast in the faith. Now, what kind of faith is he talking about? The faith that we preach. The faith that is in the Bible. The faith that is in the book. Stand fast. And you know what? You better stand fast because you're going to be punched left and right for not agreeing with the system. He says, be brave. Don't be intimidated. You know, we are on the winning side. Be strong. Be strong. Don't give up faith. Don't be bribed. This is how we learn to overcome the devil's harassment. What are you talking about? If I would have a child right now going to school and they come with this nonsense that my child would have to have a preschool sexual education, I'll take this child out of school and I'll sue the school. It's only 10% of gays and lesbians out there, and you want to tell me that they want to dictate to the 90% of us how our children should be educated? You kidding me? But the problem is that many of us cannot stand on the Word of God. Many of us doesn't know how to stand on the faith, and that's why we need to be brave, because there's going to be a punch left and right. When we were building this thing here, one of the guys came and said, you're going to have a, what do you call this thing? A bathroom for the gays and lesbians is never going to happen. I told him on the spot, it's never going to happen. Transgender. I said, it will never happen. Not under my watch. You may end up in jail. I'll go to jail. I'll get out. But we will not bow down to you, nor to your system. We're going to stand fast on the faith, because this is demonic activity working the heavenly places. And when the people don't know that, they can't stand, and that's when they bend backwards. Let me say something here real quick. I just jump after my introduction. John 10:10 tells us that the thief does not come except to do three things, and I have it in red letters for you. Steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, any time that you see stealing of joy on your life, that's the devil's signature on it. Any time that you finance, you've been robbed from your finances, that's the devil's signature on that. And I'll tell you this, I will die saying the same thing. I do not believe, I will never believe. There's nobody that will make me believe that a godly person has to be a wretched, poor beggar. I can't make it. You've been robbed by the devil. You've been harassed by the devil. Just like this poor guy, he decided to give heed to some demon-possessed preacher that says that you don't have to come to church. You can stay home and watch church on TV, his church on TV. And you don't have to give tithe. And the fellow is already living a hard time. The day that he got a promotion and they gave him all the back pay, $2,500, his engine, his car engine locked up. And he had to pay $3,000 to replace the engine. So he's indebted $500. Then the guy worked the rest of the year. At the end of the year, in the beginning of the year, he filed for taxes. And he gets $3,500 back. His transmission went up. And $3,200 went up again. The devil is stealing you, dude. And he calls, can you pray for me that this will stop? I said, I can't. What do you mean you can't? You have been given yourself to teachings of demons. Well, you don't realize these preachers are all driving your cars. And so what? That's none of your business. Oh, yes, it is. How come that's your business? I gave my money. No, it ain't yours. It's God's money. And on the money that you put on that basket, you no longer have control over it. I don't believe in that. That's your business. And your car is going to keep breaking. And whatever else. For a very simple fact, God said on the word, and when God said in the word, strongholds, which is a manipulation of the mind, will try to tell us different. Oh no, I don't take this, I don't agree with this. And who are you to tell God how the show should be run? So anytime that you see stealing of joy, or stealing of your finances, or stealing of anything precious that you have, that's the devil's signature on it. Because this punk, good for nothing, piece of garbage, he is specializing in three things: stealing, killing, and destroying. When you say killing, or the things most precious to you, of the things most precious to you, what do you mean? Like your life? You're dying, and you see family members dying, especially those who don't want to follow God. And even your garden, you planted something so cute, and then all of a sudden, there comes a worm and kills all your garden. It's the devil's signature. Destruction. Destruction of your health. Destruction of your fellowship. Destruction of your relationship. Destruction of your wealth. Destruction of your peace. It all has the devil's signature on it. What do you mean? It means that you have been harassed. So what do I do? Number one, I told you, you watch, you stand fast on your faith. One may ask, how do I stand fast on my faith? You keep speaking the word of God. And then you keep speaking the word of God. And then you keep speaking the word of God. And after that, you keep speaking the word of God. What? That's it? That's one of the things you're supposed to do. You know what? Can you give me Hosea 14:2? We're going to stand against the devil using the word of God. We keep standing the devil, huh? We're going to stand this punk, this piece of garbage, is speaking the words of our faith. The Bible says here, Hosea chapter 14, verse 2. We're going to keep speaking the word of God because this is the word in which we believe. Is that right? Listen to Hosea. Let's read it. Take what? And we're going to stand that punk. We're going to stand the circumstances. We're going to stand adversity. Is speaking the word. Take the word with you. So if something is not going so well, say, Lord, you said on your word, and we're going to take the word with us. Step number one, we're going to watch, we're going to stand fast in our faith, and we're going to be brave. We're going to take the word of God back to him. Second thing that you have to do is found in 1 Peter 5:9, which everybody knows. But I still want to bring it to your attention. First thing, you watch. And you stand fast in faith, and you'll be brave and strong. Second thing, let's read. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering. See, it's a worldwide epidemic. This low life is attacking the church all over the place. So not only are we going to watch, we're going to stand fast, we're going to also resist him. How do I do that? If you are in tune, if you are in symphony with God, and you smell something strong on the air, what do you do? Speak the word. Get thee behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus. You speak the word, and you resist him steadfast in faith, which means not shaking. Not vacillating, not doubting. Devil, you cannot have my child. Back off in the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Devil, you cannot have my job. Back off in the name of Jesus. We're going to resist the devil. We were praying here last week. On Tuesday, he decided to show his ugly face here. And I was angry. 6 o'clock in the morning, I come here, and you get your stinking face on this place. I went on a rage. And the folks that were here, they understood it, and everybody backed me up. By the time we finished, he was this litter, working his little stinking butt out of that door. We resist him steadfast. on the faith. You can't have my job. Back off in the name of Jesus. And I have to pray that every morning at the job I will. Until he get the message that I ain't backing up. And I'm not bending backwards either. You can't have my spouse. You can't have my child. You can't have my children. And you can't touch my car. The book says in here, resist him steadfast in the faith. It is the faith that we believe, not the faith of the denominations, not the faith of the television. It's the faith of the Bible. Number three. I gave you six, should be actually number three, but it's number two. Put on the whole armor of God. It would be nice for you to get familiarized with the scripture. I said it would be nice for you to get familiarized with the scripture.
Amen.
If you have a weapon and you don't know how to shoot, it's the dumbest thing you can do in your life. Why you have a weapon in the first place? You go out there, you buy a caliber 45, and you never want to learn how to shoot. Thief come in and you get the gun and shoot, and then the cartridge fall on the ground. Get familiarized. Put on the whole armor of God. And if you read in Ephesians, they're going to tell you what the armor of God is. Put on the armor of God.
Hallelujah.
Get used to it.
Amen.
Because when the battle time comes, you're ready to go.
Amen.
And you're not backing out. Let's move a little fast. Let's go to number three. Philippians 4:1. Watch this. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, what you must do?
Stand fast.
Stand fast in the Lord. Now, did you notice that the first two verses said that we should stand in faith? Now it says stand fast on the Lord. Why would he say that? Why didn't he say on the faith? Because sometimes people may stand on the wrong faith. I had a couple calling me from Pennsylvania. And the girl, the daughter, she was a little on the chubby side. About 500 pounds. But she's tall. She's 6 feet tall. And she fell in love with a Jamaican boy. And he's one way, way, way from the bush. The guy is so dark, that the white part of his eye is dark. And when the family heard about it, they flipped. And then they called me. Can you come and convince this daughter of ours not to marry this guy? I said, what? Are you out of your mind? And then they gave me what their faith believed about dark skin color people. And they had the guts to call me to go there, you know. While they're talking, God said, nope, you're not going to do nothing of a kind. I went straight forward. I will never do that. You must be demon-possessed. Our faith teaches us, then ask your preacher to talk to her. You're standing on the wrong faith. You're standing on the wrong side. You know what? I still went to talk to them. I went to tell her, you better be ready. Because it's going to be tough. You are in redneck country. Is he coming to live here? Yes. You're in redneck country. So you better be ready. And lo and behold, a week before the wedding, the faith people came and tell her, or you're going to be cursed.
What?
These people, they are cursed. Didn't you read in the Bible? You know what? They end up getting married. And they have been happy for the last 12 years. Sometimes people is standing on the wrong faith. He's standing on the wrong side. And he's standing with the wrong God. the God of denomination. God is telling people, my brethren, stand fast in the Lord. And when our eyes are set upon the Lord, the devil cannot harass us. You got that? Let's go, let's move a little fast. Let's go to number five. That's going to be James 4:7. Therefore, submit to God. Now, I'm going to say something here that may mess up your evening. I'll read it again. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil. When we do not submit to God, we open a door to submit to the devil. There is an emptiness within us that cry for a superpower to be in charge of our lives. And when we refuse to go with God's program, that vacuum is going to be filled by the devil. Well, preacher, but I don't like. It's not about what you like. It's about what God said on the word. And many stuff that he says we don't like. Why? Because Paul said in Romans 8, the flesh is enmity against the things of God. When the flesh is on the throne, God is down there. So when God is on the throne, the flesh is down there. And when the flesh is down, the devil cannot rule over our lives. So he says, submit to God. So can you break this thing a little bit? Yes. If God tells you that you're supposed to fast once a month, you fast once a month. Why? When you don't do, you're unsubmissive. Oh, yeah, I'm going to pick on someone. If God says you're supposed to be submissive to your husband, and you're telling the man what to do, no good. No good. Of course, we don't have this problem here. All you, I know that all you are submissive to your husbands. Amen? Amen? It's a learning process, right? You're sorry for those. When the Bible says submit to God, it means you go along with what God says. You're supposed to go along. Another church we were preaching, the lady said, what about the man? Said, hold on, sis, I'm coming. In the same way, when God says, love that blessing that you have at home, like Christ loved the church, you have no idea what I have at home. I may not, but God does. You're still told to love her. I do. No, you don't. Not like Christ. You know what happened, huh? Love led him to the grave. So if you ain't dead yet, love has not come to the full. Amen? Beloved, submit yourself to God. God said it in the word, we obey the word, and that's what goes. No deviation. Well, but there's no buts and whats. God said on the word, we believe on the word, we submit to God, and we do what the word says for us to do. When we start living this type of lifestyle, guess what? To resist the devil will be a piece of cake. He's not going to even fight too much because that's in the name of Jesus. He runs like a dog. Because he knows that you are living a submissive life to God. Even though at times it's very difficult to do. Next page. I want you to read it with me. On the other page, on the other side. Therefore, what's the first thing you have to remember? No. In other words, one of the ways of cutting the devil's harassment is not only watching and standing in the faith, resisting him, putting the armor of God, standing fast on the Lord, submitting to God. I should be remembered, always remembered, that even if the enemy will come upon me like a flood, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. End of story. You can do as much witchcraft work as you want. It ain't going to happen. Plain and simple. You can do as many plot against us as you want. It ain't going to take off. You can send as many curses, it's not going to light. Because this is the heritage. It's a right that you have. When you and I are serving God wholeheartedly, there's a promise in God that every tongue that shall rise against you at work, you shall condemn them. Plain and simple. Every gossiper coming against you, you shall condemn them. Every false tongue, you shall condemn them. This is a right that you have. You should also remember that the purpose for which Jesus Christ came is a very simple one. John 10:10. The thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. Then Jesus says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Tell your neighbor, I hope you are enjoying that rich and satisfying life. This is how God people are supposed to live. That's what the book is saying. You know, the Message Bible, the same page that you have, put it in a very interesting way. Watch that. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so they can have real and eternal life. More and better life than they ever dreamed. Tell your neighbor, you have a better life than you ever dreamed of. Folks, this is why Jesus came. And this is how we slapped that piece of garbage called devil in his face. We're not going to bow down to his harassment. We're not going to walk heads down, sad, crying. How are you? Well, I've seen better days. I feel like slapping that person in the face. Wake up! Let's continue. Read it with me. Today, I am choosing life instead of death. What? Who in their right mind is going to choose death? 90% of the Christians I know. How are you doing? I'm fine, Pastor, but my diabetes is so high. Then die. How are you doing, sister? I'm fine, but my high blood pressure is sky high, and my bad cholesterol is so bad. Well, have a nice trip. One time I had somebody calling here, can you come to the hospital and pray for me, blah, 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 blah. So I went to the hospital. And when we get there, how are you doing, sis? Pastor, I have so much problems. Good. How could you say that? That's good. You either get your act together or you're going to get beat up by the devil until you get your act together. Clean up your act. You know, I'm ready to die. Can you pray for me? Sure. Lord, take this lady in your hands. She's ready to die. Take her home. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Wait. What are you doing? You said you're ready to die. So I'm just agreeing with you. No, I don't mean that. But then, will you make up your mind? And how many times you hear God's people say, I'm ready to die? You know what I mean? Choose life. Well, but they said I have cancer. So what? I said yesterday morning, we do not deny that sickness exists. We deny the sickness the right to exist in our bodies. Plain and simple. I do not deny the words of the doctor. I do not doubt on the words of the doctor. I just choose to believe that God's word will override the words of the doctor. And by doing this, I'm choosing life. When somebody just looks at me, the doctor says, what an ugly fella. And then the cashier asks, how are you? I say, still tall, brown, and handsome. I am overriding the nonsense out there. Therefore, I am choosing life instead of death. I am choosing to speak God's report instead of man's report. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, today, I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, so that you and your descendants may live. Tell your neighbor, I'm choosing life. For me and my descendants. I'm choosing blessings. Instead of curses. For me and my descendants. When you do that, you're beating up that piece of garbage called devil on his face. Why? Because you're disagreeing with what the doctor is saying. Well, you got to put some money on the stock market because the economy is bad. Well, help yourself if you don't do that. I'm going to enjoy life. Well, if you're a fool. Because if the economy crash, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. I'm choosing to agree with God. I refuse to eat tuna with Kool-Aid, saving the money for when the economy crash. Get a life. Choose life. I know this fella. He works all his life on a company in Hunt Valley, and we used to work together. This man would eat every single day a tuna sandwich with Kool-Aid. I asked him one time, don't you get tired of it? I'm saving. For what? For my retirement. What? You know, you never know. You may get sick. You need to have some money. Guess what? He retired. And within 1 year, he spent every single dime that he saved with doctors. And then I'm thinking, what an idiot. You're depriving yourself of a nice, juicy steak, and you're eating tuna sandwich with Kool-Aid because you're saving for your retirement? What an idiot. Choose life. Choose blessings. Not only for you, but for your children too. I choose life and blessing for me and my children. And grandchildren. And great-grandchildren. And great-great-grandchildren. That's the choice we are making. And therefore, the devil cannot have them. The devil is forbidden to have anyone of my bloodline. I am making that choice. Let's continue to read. I resolve in my heart that I will allow no harassment from the devil, because surrender to God, resist the devil, and he will run from you. Or submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. I'm not taking no harassment, because I'm making the choice to surrender, to submit to God, not to the devil. Tell your neighbor, we are choosing to submit to God.
Not to the devil.
We're going to surround to God.
Not to the devil.
And I am aware. Let's read it. And I am aware that I need to thank my God for the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ask somebody, how are you doing, victorious? We are choosing to believe in victory. We are choosing to live a victorious life. We are choosing to stick with God and His Word. We are choosing to stick with the book. And we are choosing to beat that piece of garbage right on His face and send Him back to where He belongs, the pits of hell. Amen? Don't be intimidated, beloved. Don't give up into no harassment. Don't be dismayed. Stand firm in the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Now stand on your feet. I want to lead you in a prayer. Pray with me, Father God.
Father God,
I am choosing
to resist the devil.
I will take no harassment,
of any kind,
in the name of Jesus.
I am choosing to submit myself to you.
I'm choosing to go with your word.
I am choosing to go with your program.
I'm choosing life.
Not death.
I'm choosing health.
Not sickness.
I'm choosing blessings.
Not cursing.
In the name of Jesus.
And I choose to believe
that I am loved of God.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Have a seat.